Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 49 to 56. In his message titled Being Divided, Reverend David Williams tells us that this is not an easy world. There is so much division and anger that we can easily lose hope. We need to ask God to take our bitterness away so we can choose the path that God wants us to follow. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. It is not an easy world out there. It's not easy looking at a world where so much seems to be war and violence, where there's so much division and anger, where there appears to be so much hatred and brokenness, and things don't track well. In the face of all of that, it's easy to become cynical, it's easy to become apathetic, it's easy to let hope leave you. But that's not what God wants for us. That's not God's intent for us. And we feel that spirit moving in us to break us away from hope, to move us away from healing, to turn us away from that vision of how things might be better. We need to set that before God and ask God to take that spirit of bitterness and brokenness away from us, because it can be present with all of us. Right now, let's admit that sometimes we struggle with that. Let's admit it using the prayer of confession that's in our bulletin. Please join with me in praying. Gracious and almighty God, our journey through life is not always an easy thing. We slog through things that can wear us down day after day. Unexpected impacts can suddenly shatter and break us. In response, we become brittle and angry, or cynical and apathetic, or resigned and empty. None of these responses are drawn from the strength that you offer us. None of these responses draw us towards your healing and joy. Forgive us, gracious one, for not opening ourselves in faith to your spirit. In Christ's name, please forgive us. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for today is drawn from Luke's gospel. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. You can follow along on page 75 of your pew New Testament. Let's listen a third time for God's holy word. Jesus says, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It's going to rain.' And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat.' And it happens. You hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they may be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm feeling a little sensitive right now, sensitive to anything and everything having to do with family, to those strange bonds of time and flesh that weave us together with those who share our blood. And my last week, my trip to the beach only deepened that sense. I mean, this is a relaxation time, generally, a time that for the last 20 years has been that point where you kick back, although the week seems to have grown shorter as time has passed. I remember it lasting a very long time once, but now I seem to get behind the wheel of the van and I'm driving on 50 on my way east and I blink my eyes and I'm behind the wheel driving west. A week passed. It's like, was that a week? Didn't even feel like an afternoon. What happened? This year in 2016, it was a chance to do a lot of the same things and a chance to try new things on the beach. As you know, I spend a lot of my time on the beach vanishing into a meditation on the coalescence of order from chaos as particulate matter and liquid mingle into an ephemeral solidity, or to put that another way, a mimic sandcastle. This year, it was actually a collapsed first attempt at a tower that just happened to look like a letter, which led me to spend much of the week carving standing letters from sand. Which also led me to discover that writing the word Bethany out in big, tall, upright letters tends to be a family picture magnet. Every mom who went by said, oh, we need a picture, which was cool. But there were other resonances this week, because this beach trip was sort of a marker. You know, it's a marker of the closing of the last summer before my oldest son leaves the nest for school. Because it was at the beach, that same beach at Bethany, 19 summers ago, that family had all gathered in a beach house, and we told them all that even though she didn't quite look it yet, the first grandchild was about to be born, as he was, well, not, there was a while yet, but he was forming inside of my wife. And that doesn't feel like that long ago. It really doesn't. And we knew that there would at some point in the very, very, very distant future be that last summer before he went away, and here we are. How did that happen? I've been watching those markers of this sort of last time with him fall one by one over the course of the last year. You know, that last swim meet, that last musical, that last performance, and tomorrow a final trip to Hershey Park, which we've been going to every 4 years. Four trips ago, we were like, you know, in a long time in the future, there'll be that last trip before you go off to college. And we're like, oh, that's so far away. Now it's tomorrow. Like, oh. Each of those things a transitional moment, marking what had for so long just seemed just a distant, impossible, faraway time, inhabiting a place in the future that we weren't really eager to get to. Each of those markers meaning that's, you know, one inch closer to that morning, which is now 1 week and 2 days away, where I'm going to wake up and the house will be discernibly more empty. And there'll be a bed which is still made. And there'll be a room which is still clean. And there will be a sofa downstairs unwarmed by a sleeping form who came in way late and decided to go sleep down there rather than waking the parents up upstairs. And I'm just not eager for that change. I feel separation beginning in the family, and it makes me grumble at a culture where they take away our babies You know, I mean, it used to be that the young would just stick around. They'd grow up and then they'd be there working beside you. They'd be there in your community. They'd be helping out on the farm. They'd be squabbling with you constantly. And you'd be like, I wish there was a society where they'd move somewhere else for a while. But, you know, now we're in this place where they just constantly go, you know, you miss them. Even before they leave, you miss them. There's that saying about children, you know, sort of cute saying, you know, and once you have a child, it's like your heart now lives outside your body and walks around in the world. And it's sort of cute. It's, you know, it's like, oh, that's sweet. But, you know, the last week or so, I feel more like that hapless extra in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, you know, where he's like, reaches in, pulls out the heart, shows it to him beating, and throws it in a fire. It feels more like that lately. And so I find myself yearning for reassurance of connection, reassurance that when partings happen, there's something deeply unbreakable. There's a love-wrought union between those who are part of us, without whom we don't really understand ourselves. It's what we hope for when we find ourselves moving away from friends who've become like blood, or it's what we hope for when we come home and the house is emptier. That's our yearning. And so that's where I am, and so I go to Scripture this week looking for comfort. And I get what? Oh Lord, it's that passage from Luke. I came to bring fire to the earth, says Jesus. And I'm like, what? I mean, it feels like that outside, but you came to what? And then he goes on, do you think I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. And I think to myself, do we really need more division? You know, there are many things we human beings need. They're things we yearn for, they're things we are bad at, but division we seem to have down. We figured that one out. Jesus, thanks, but maybe no? How are we supposed to get that? I mean, you want division? Go onto Facebook, look for whoever put up a political post. It's like, yeah, we're good at that. Thank you very much. And then it just keeps getting worse. You know, it's not just that we can expect to encounter division in the world, Jesus says, but he's bringing it on into our homes. From now on, Jesus says, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2, 2 against 3 they'll be divided, father against son, and son against father. I'm like, ugh, I don't want to hear that right now. And then mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And this message hits, and you know, it's just, do we want to hear that? You know, I mean, it sounds like Jesus is describing, you know, having just got back from vacation, not one of those lovely family gatherings where people celebrate, but one of those, dear God, when will this dysfunctional family vacation from hell end? We don't want that. We struggle with division. How can we hear this passage as good news? Because it seems like the last thing that we need in this world. And I think one answer, as I've prayed and fished over this and fretted over this last week, lies in understanding both the context of the passage and the form of division that Jesus brings. This is a teaching that found purchase in the context of the early church, and it got mostly remembered and passed on because if you committed to follow Jesus, it did create within households a form of separation. There was no cultural Christianity at that point. There was no expectation that following Jesus was a perfectly normal thing to do that a lot of people do. This, in that first generation of the church, required a significant risk, a real break with the standing practices and expectations of everything. If you were a Jew, it didn't mesh with your family dynamic. If you lived as part of a household in Imperial Roman culture, what Jesus taught separated you out. It created division. If you chose to follow Jesus of Nazareth, you were establishing a distinction between yourself and those around you. So there's that. But you also have to read this passage not as if he's just popping up and saying it like a soundbite, but it exists within the whole relationship of every part of the story told in Luke's gospel. At the beginning of Luke's gospel, we hear in Luke 1, or in chapter 1, verse 79, Jesus is coming to guide our feet into the way of peace. And then in the next chapter, angels proclaim that Jesus brings peace on earth and goodwill to all peoples. And then Jesus commands his disciples as they enter every new house to declare peace as a greeting in every house they enter. That's Luke chapter 10, verse 5. He is the one who weeps over Jerusalem, crying, "If only you recognized on this day the things that make for peace." And then after he returns to his disciples after these passages, the very first word he says to all of them is, "Peace be with you." Peace and the desire for peace and the desire for the healing and reconciliation that that establishes are a vital and central part to who Christ is. You can't just take this passage on its own, because creating peace is the point and purpose of the gospel, and yet still we have this saying, the fire and the division. I think one of the things we have to acknowledge as we struggle with this passage is that though peace is at the heart of the gospel, proclaiming and living out that peace does not automatically result in the absence of conflict. If you live your life according to Jesus' teachings, even if you say peace, peace, there can often still be conflict and struggle. Have you ever had two friends who've really gotten into it? I mean, I don't know if you have, but people you love and who you think should be able to get along with one another, and suddenly they get into the dynamics of a conflict and they really seem to fold into it, and you come to them and you say, "Be at peace with one another. Can't you just..." Does that always work? I mean, in your experience, as both a friend and a father and a husband and a pastor, I've tried that many times. I'll just see one another's perspective, and what that tends to involve is suddenly they're together, and they're very mad at you. Let us fight. What are you doing? We're supposed to be fighting. It don't work so good. It is not in this that Jesus is proclaiming himself to be another source of dissension and hatred. Jesus, in proclaiming this, is not another one of those people eager to add his message to the throngs of competing worldviews that tear and snap at each other. This world, our lives, already has plenty of folks clawing at each other for power and control. Because here, what Jesus is asking of those who follow him, who really follow him, not just mouthing the words, he's saying, if you follow me, you're going to create a distinction between yourself and the powers of this world. The world cries out, "Take what is rightfully yours, take as much as you can." And Jesus says, "No, your task is to give." Where the world insists we should shove our way to the head of the table, those who follow him take on the form of a servant. Where the world declares that the other is the enemy, to be hated, to be despised, to be destroyed, those who follow Christ understand that Jesus is telling us that the other, that person different from us, maybe they're a stranger, maybe they're someone who's an enemy, or maybe they are the person we have learned to hate with that fierce, bitter fire that comes from closeness that has soured. Those people are to be loved, they're to be respected, they're to be built up, and that creates a division, a rift between one way of being and another. So in that, Christ does bring division. And so when we hear this passage, as we go to Jesus' teachings for direction and comfort, it's understandable that we might cry, "What? What is that Jesus talking?" And yes, it is. It is Jesus talking. And he is saying that we should be separated from hatred, separated from fear and from bitterness and from anxiety and from those dark walls of the enfolded soul that strangle God's love from our lives and keep us from being open to each other. And fear and bitterness and anxiety around loss are the things that I need to set myself against in times of transition like this one, where I look at a loved one who's not going to be there in the same way anymore. And it makes me a little afraid, and it makes me a little tense, and it makes me a little angry. Why does he have to go? And instead of allowing that to guide me, I can separate myself out from that, seeing that my connection with him isn't just about that, that I'm not really losing him because I love him. In the same way, maudlinly looking back at videos of what the beach house was once like, I look at pictures of myself playing hide and seek with that same boy who's now like this, only he was tiny, and we were playing hide and seek, and I watched that video over and over, and I'm like, you know, he's scampering around on his tippy toes, and I'll hide, and he'll say, hide and seek, hide and seek, hide and seek, and I'll play it, and then I want to play it again and again. And I know that that child is gone. That little boy is no longer quite the person that's in my household. Just as 10 years from now, he will be different, and I will be different. But I know that I am in the love that Jesus proclaims, in the connection that Jesus makes between all of us. In that love, I am separated from that fear of loss. I am divided from that anxiety about letting go. And in that, as I have struggled with this passage, even this passage has given some comfort in this time of transition. If you've been there, or if you're anticipating it, let that comfort be yours, just as it has been mine. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Our world is so filled with things that separate us from one another, that divide us from one another. All of the dynamics of power, all of the dynamics of control, all of those things shatter us and break us. And even within the more intimate circles of our life, we find ourselves separated from those we care for. People go away. People pass on. And in the face of that, it's hard standing in encounter with Jesus saying he is a fire and he has come to divide. But engaging with the depth of the gospel and the fullness of the story of Christ's teaching, that message takes on a different hue. It becomes the flavor of being divided from brokenness itself, being divided from division itself, no longer focusing on those things that break us apart, but instead holding fast to the grace of love that unites. And in those places where we encounter separation, or we stand in the presence of conflict, or we're forced to let people go even though we don't really want them to, that is the strength of the gospel message for us. And so wherever in your life you stand in encounter with that reality, hear that message of that fire that Christ brings, and let the fire of the Spirit of God's love rest in you and guide you. Because that is both the challenge of this path that Jesus teaches, but also its strength and its hope. And so now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may they be and abide with all of us this day, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.